The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
And be quiet now. We'll have a little preaching and see what the Lord really wants to do. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad Wanda could be with me. I've known your pastor too long. 30-something years now. I've watched him as he has been marvelously used to the Lord, and I'm glad he's in our country and here at Parkview. We're here to talk about missions, and you'd had to have been asleep tonight in church if you're not aware of a couple of things. By now you ought to be aware that there's a world full of lost people out there that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And really, it don't take many brains to figure out there's some missionaries wanting to go. Right? So the missionaries are not the need. Lost people are not the need. So I reckon the real need's the money thing, don't you? We'll slip up on that later. Where's Tackett? You're from Northern Kentucky.
That's where I live. I'm from West Virginia.
I'm sorry. We'll move on. Are you any kin to the Tacketts in Northern Kentucky?
No, sir.
I wouldn't claim them either. They owe me money. That's the reason I was talking to you. Okay? You take your Bible, please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. A long time ago, I had a mentor told me, if you'll preach on familiar subjects, it'll help you preaching. Well, I don't know whether it has or not, but I like to preach on familiar text. And we're at one tonight. We're at one tonight that all the school children learn. We're at one tonight that when a young preacher gets ready to preach his first message, he's apt to take these verses to do it. And so we're going to look at them in a moment. But I want to congratulate you tonight, because when you woke up this morning, you were in the receipt of a marvelous gift. You got another day.
Amen.
Wonderful, marvelous gift of God. And since we are stewards, that would be a place to say amen.
Amen.
Since we are stewards, we ought to be interested in stewarding the day God has given us.
Amen.
Matter of fact, we ought to be interested in being a better steward of today than we were of yesterday. Sure. And that means then, for some of you, that you ought to be a better steward for this missions year than you were last missions year. Now, for me, I don't even buy green bananas anymore, but you're looking at a year. So do something about that and decide and determine tonight that you want to take better care of this than you did that. And God will bless you very greatly for it. And you know, to do that, if you and I are going to be better stewards of our life than we were, it's going to take the proper use and maintenance of the days that we have. And we do have an owner's manual that helps us with that. And so we're going to look for a few moments tonight, because every Christian ought to be interested in finding and doing God's will in their life. I think sometimes we approach missions giving before we're ready to do missions giving. I think we're really ready, we're just not equipped. And so I want us to look at this and put it under the heading of the proper preparation for stewarding our missions giving this coming year. The proper preparation. Now, boom, Friday night, and we're all to be ready. It's going to take some work for some of you to be ready. It really is. Doesn't mean you won't be giving. It means you won't be prepared to give. It means your heart won't be where it ought to be about it. So here in the Bible, let's note our text, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, we begin reading in verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Well, it's starting off good. I like the deal so far. All I got to do is obey. And he said, here's the deal. You'll get length of days, long life, and peace. And the world's seeking peace. And here it is right here. Let's move on. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Look at this one. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. That sounds like a good deal. I mean, everything in the Word of God is good for us.
Amen.
All of these commands that chafe some people so terribly bad are good things for them. And when we learn to steward the days that God has given us and the things that He's let us manage for Him, that's a good day. Let's move on now. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Looks like we can get some direction here. Yeah, you know, it just seems to be that's what He's saying He'll do. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And look at this one. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Well, looks like finding the way God wants us to go would be a good way. Looks like it would be an enjoyable way. Christian stewards ought to be happy stewards.
Amen.
Christian givers ought to be happy givers.
Amen.
You are aware that you can be saved and not be a Christian.
Right. Yes, sir.
That's not too deep. You understand that.
Right.
And you get saved by the grace of God. You become a Christian on purpose.
Yes.
You determine to do certain things. So we all ought to be looking for, interested in finding God's will for our life. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 58 and verse 11, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and shall satisfy thy soul. Good deal. Good deal. Yet with all of those promises, we're sort of like the losing football team, the college team. They'd lost every game. They were down to the last game of the year. The coach is going to lose his job if he doesn't win at least a game. They're down to the last few seconds in the game. The opponents have the ball and they fumble it on their own 2-yard line. And suddenly a little light comes on in the coach's mind. 2 yards. All I've got to do is get them 2 yards. We win the game. The game is over. My career is saved. And he's a happy man. So he calls in his best play, number 38, and they lose 5 yards. They're now 7 yards from his safety. He calls in his second best play, number 28. They lose 3 more yards. They're now 10 yards away. Now the crowd's booing him. He's so aggravated with them, he turns around and starts booing them back. And the quarterback looks over there to get the play to call in, and he's busy booing the crowd, and the poor little quarterback doesn't know what to do. And so he calls a play, and all of a sudden, while he's booing the crowd, and the crowd's booing, the crowd starts cheering. And he turns around, and the referees are standing there with their hands up, and his team has scored a touchdown. They've won the game. Game's over. He saved his career. He can't believe it. He calls the quarterback over and says, son, what in the world did you do to score that touchdown? He said, well, Coach, I looked over there at you and you had your back turned to us. And I didn't know what to do. And I looked at this player and his number was 6. And I looked at this player and his number was 8. And I said, well, 6 and 8 are 11. I called play number 11. We scored a touchdown. The coach looked at him and said, you idiot. You dummy. 6 and 8 are not 11. It's 14. And that poor little boy looked at him and said, Coach, if I'd been as smart as you are, we'd have lost this ball game. Someone says, was there any point in taking our time for that? Yeah, I enjoyed it. Because I am aware that we need to be very careful where we get our smarts from. Are we as Christians will become smarter and smarter and smarter and lose the ball game. You know, amazing, wonderful things have happened in my lifetime. In my lifetime, we have split the atom. In my lifetime, we put a man on the moon. In my lifetime, we put a probe on Mars. In my lifetime, they've developed satellite communication around the world. In my lifetime, there have been massive medical advances, and yet we still have diseases we can't cure, and the crime rate has risen 500% in my lifetime. Smarter and smarter and losing the ball game. So in that kind of a world, how do we find God's way? Now you remember Isaiah 58:11, and the Lord shall guide thee continually. How do we get in on that? Now, I don't have a lot of time to develop it tonight. I don't want to take a lot of time to develop it. I just want you to listen. Well, let me rephrase that. I want you to pay attention. Because when you come to familiar texts like this, you're going to say, I know more about it than you do. That's probably true. But the problem is we just know one thing about it usually, and that satisfies us. So if you and I are going to prepare ourselves to steward this day any better than we've been doing up until now, we're going to have to do something different. And Christians, the command is that we be continually growing in the grace of our Lord. And it's always to be growth. So how do we do it? How do we get this direction from God? How can we come to Friday night and know what to do about our missions, stewarding, and giving? Number one, we have to love the Lord above all else. Now, everybody loves the Lord, but that's not what I said. We have to love the Lord above all else. Some of you men who are not too terribly old, can you still remember the first time you told that girl you're sitting by, I love you with all my heart? Remember that? You know what you got yourself into? I mean, your goose was cooked right then. Because what you have done is you have made a public announcement that you have now put someone in your life who rises above your needs and above anything you have, that you love her more than you love yourself. And that's the position that the Lord wants. Notice our verse, if you would, Proverbs 3:5. Look at it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. How much of it? Yeah, see, this Christianity thing is a whole heart thing. It's everything in. Nothing held back, you see. This half-hearted religion that's running through America today is an abomination to God. This Sunday morning only, this 3 service a week only is an abomination unto God. It's a 7-day-a-week, 24-hour-a-day. And notice something. You've got your Bible open. Pay careful attention. We're not going to be long. I want you to see something. I want you to notice verse 5, verse 6, and verse 9. Now in verse 5, we're looking at it. Trust in the Lord, watch, with all thine heart. That's all your worship. All your heart. You see, Jesus talked a lot about it, you know, and he said, oh yeah, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Huh? Oh, it's easy to sing, oh, how I love Jesus. It's something else to put that all my heart on there. So watch it. All my heart, that's all your worship. Look in verse 6. In all thy ways, that's all your work. All your worship, all your work, drop down to verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. That's all your wealth. Now, all your worship, all your work, all your wealth. Now, why would any Christian be afraid to do that? There's a whole bunch of us sitting here that have no plans to do that unless something changes. Hmm? You say you ought not talk like that. Well, it's the truth. You know, you're just going to figure out what you can do and stay comfortable. You're not about. Why? Because the why is very important. Because you're afraid of what the consequences would be if you did that. For instance, suppose someone came up to you that you didn't know, and you said, "Say," or they said to you, "Say, I want you to do something for me." What would be your first question to them? What do you want me to do? And the guy says, well, that's none of your business. Just trust me. What's my next statement to him? Man, I don't even know you. I sure don't trust you. See, you can't trust somebody you don't know. Matter of fact, you can know somebody and not know and not trust them. The people I trust are people I love. And God says, you can trust me. He said, I want it all. Everything belongs to me. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and them that dwell therein. Psalm 24:1. And we need to understand that. And we need to realize. God just said, give it all to me. Your worship, your work, your wealth, all of it. So what we really need to do this week, we really need to spend enough time in a prayer closet with our book to really get to know the Lord. And listen carefully now. To know him is to love him, period. To love him is to trust him. To trust him is to obey him. And to obey him is to find blessing and direction. So we can trust him. We must learn to love the Lord above all else. There's a second and final thought I want to give you. And in this second and final thought, I'm going to give you three words that once you can, or three statements, two words sometimes, but I'm trying to tell you it's just going to be a minute, and if you don't get it, it's going to go by you. That will forever change your life in relation to God and to missions. It's not any deep, dark subject. It's not something that's hidden. It's something that's here for all of us. But let's just notice it like this. Now, the first thing, we must love the Lord above all else. The second thing, we must lean on him at all times. Notice, if you would, again in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And that's sort of a conflict there, because we have Christian schools to teach young people how to understand things and how to work out problems and have an understanding of how things work and how, what the result is going to be if they follow their understanding. And we get all educated up. And all of a sudden the Bible says you can forget that. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Now please, understand this. There's nothing wrong with understanding. It simply won't carry you where God wants you to go. Now, you know, if I have to walk down there and say my own amen, and we'll be here till 9:30. It takes me a while to make that trip anymore. You amen, I'll be through in about 5 minutes. Yeah. I found the magic word, the bullet. All right. So you got to pay attention. Now, we must lean on it. You can't lean to it. See, we have to become totally, totally dependent upon God. Once that happens, a little omissions commitment's nothing. Once that happens, everything is better, you see. We don't depend on a plan nor a purpose, but a person. Now, if you really want to know what God wants you to do, I mean you're serious about it, 3 little bitty statements. Get them, there'll be a test. 3 words. We're going to call them 3 words. Anywhere, anytime, any cost. Anywhere, anytime, any cost. Now let me ask you a question for the second time. Why would any Christian be afraid to tell God that? Why would anyone in this room tonight be afraid to find an old-fashioned altar or make you an altar out there and say, "Dear God, anywhere, anytime, any cost"? See, there's too many like to pick out their place. They come by and they ask the pastor, "Pastor, you know where there's a church looking for a pastor?" And he'll say, "Yeah, I heard about one in Kansas." "Oh, no, not Kansas. I'm talking about here in the Metroplex." So you're not looking for God's will. You're just looking for your place. Watch this one. Anytime. How many, I know probably some college students are working, but how many college students are here? Okay. You know what happens to you when you're a college student? If you're not real careful, you're going to do God's will when you graduate. Sometime. Why don't you try practicing it here and see how it's going to work then? Anywhere, God, you pick the place. Anytime, God, you pick the place. Oh my, we've got to deal with this other one now. Any cost. God, you pick the price. I'll pay the price. I saw some stuff go by somewhere. You had some quotes going by that Jim Elliot left us. I did not see it go by, but I think he's the one who said, "A man's a fool." Who keeps what he has to keep from getting what he can never lose, something like that. You know what it says. But we have our stuff and we have our plans and we really don't want God interrupting it. You want to have a little meeting right here in this place that would shake this city for Christ. Just a handful of people would say to God, "All right, anywhere, anytime, any cost." Amen. Come Friday night, you'll have an opportunity to put it on paper. But between now and then, you really get to know the Lord. You really need to get to know Him and love Him and trust Him and obey him. Listen, listen as we close. We slander God when we think, all right, we're down to it now. I'll have to choose God's way or my happiness, one or the other. That slanders God. God's way is the way of happiness. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Sounds happy to me. And all, look at the verse. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him. So anywhere, anytime, would you say that and mean it? Or is it true that you're just playing a religious game? It's one or the other. One or the other. Would you bow your heads, please? Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. Christians are praying. There'll never be a better time for you to spend some time in an altar than right this moment. There'll never be a better time for you to quit the religious game and say, all right, I'm in.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.